a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and I guess Happy Festivus. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This podcast marks the 200th episode I have published since I began in August 2011. Over the past year or so, I've been regularly posting weekly updates each Thursday night, but during magic conventions I attend, I post daily updates. So the numbers don't add up to 52 podcasts per year. The actual number is much more than that. I'm not much of a believer in milestones, but, well, okay, yes I am. And because this is the 200th podcast, I want to give you something special. And since we are close to the holidays, this particular podcast will be relevant. Last year I asked some of those with whom I talked during magic conventions if they would add their voices to a reading of The Night Before Christmas. Everyone graciously obliged, and that podcast was very well received and got many downloads. So, this year, I thought I would go back to the well, so to speak, and ask some recognizable names, though not all recognizable voices, to lend a hand, or rather their voice, to this year's project, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, by Dr. Seuss. I will let this play out first and let you try to guess whose voice you hear, then run through their names in order at the end of this podcast. So, kiddies, settle down and pull up your blankets as Papa tells you a bedtime story of how the Grinch stole Christmas.
Socks. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots.
Every Wu-Down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please, don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason.
It could be that his head wasn't screwed on quite right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small.
But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath.
And they're hanging their stockings,
he snarled with a sneer.
Tomorrow is Christmas, it's practically here.
Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming.
I must find a way to keep Christmas from coming.
For tomorrow he knew all the Who girls and the boys would wake up bright and early. They'd rush for their toys and then... oh, the noise, 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 noise. What's that thing he hated? The noise, 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 noise.
Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They would start on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then... they do something he liked least of all.
Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Whos would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of the Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought,
I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop Christmas from coming. But how?
Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea.
I know just what to do.
The Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked.
What a great Grinchy trick. With his coat and his hat, I'll look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer.
The Grinch looked round. But since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the old Grinch? No. The Grinch simply said,
if I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead.
So he called his dog Max. Then he took some red thread and he tied a big horn on top of his head.
Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks on a ramshackled sleigh and he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said,
"Giddy up!"
And the sleigh started down towards the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark, white snow filled the air. All the Whos were all dreaming, sweet dreams without a care. When he came to the first house in the square,
"This is stop number one,"
the old Grinchy Klaus hissed, and he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch, but if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once for a moment or two, then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings all hung in a row.
"These stockings," he grinned, "are the first things to go."
And he slithered and he slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room, and he took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn and plums. Then he stuffed them in the bag. Then the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney.
Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out the icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash.
Then he stuffed all the food the chimney with glee.
"And now,"
grinned the Grinch,
"I will stuff up the tree."
And the Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove when he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou Who, who was not more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this little Who daughter who got out of bed for a cold cup of water. She stared at the Grinch and said,
"Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why?"
But you know, the old Grinch was so smart, so slick. He thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick.
"Why, my sweet little tot,"
the fake Santa Claus lied,
"there's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here."
And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. Then the last thing he took was the log for their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls he left nothing but hooks and some wire.
And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other Who's houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's mouses. It was a quarter past dawn, and all the Who's still abed, all the Who's still a snooze, when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags and the tinsel, the trimmings, the trappings.
3,000 feet up, up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode to the tip-top to dump it.
Poo-poo to the Who's.
He was grinchishly humming.
"They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a moment or two. Then all of the Who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo." "That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I simply must hear."
So he paused and the Grinch put a hand to his ear, and he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow, but the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry. Very. And he stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes, then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? He came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't thought of before.
Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast.
In recognition of this holiday gift-giving season, I'm going to give away something to one lucky listener. Jamie Salinas recently released Lotto Fever 2.0, which is a terrific no-assistant lottery prediction effect. His effect and presentation is a surefire standing ovation getter. For a limited time, meaning now through December 18th, you can get a discount on Lotto Fever 2.0 through themagicwordpodcast.com. Just click on the banner on this podcast or go directly to my PayPal store through our website. But if you want to enter to win a free copy of this DVD, then all you have to do is to start a discussion on our Facebook page. First, go to facebook.com/themagicwordpodcast. And if you haven't yet liked the page, then do so and start a thread. It's as simple as that. You can talk about a past podcast that you like, suggest a topic you'd like to hear discussed in The Magic Word, post the name of a magician who you'd like to hear me interview. Well, you get the idea. I will not be posting these contest details on the Facebook page, so only those who hear this message will be in on the secret offer. So don't tip the secret on Facebook by alluding to this contest. It's just between you and me. Shh. Anyway, just start your thread over the next 2 weeks, and I will draw a random name and announce it on the December 18th podcast, so your Lotto Fever 2.0 will be shipped to arrive hopefully before Christmas. And remember, this is not just available to those living in the U.S. I know there are listeners from around the world, so everyone is invited to enter. We ship anywhere internationally. Thank you in advance for your participation, and thanks, too, to Jamie Salinas for offering this prize and the discount on Lotto Fever 2.0. And while you're on our website, you might consider clicking on the banner to magicinspirations.net, where you can visit the store to buy products from Banachek. If you don't yet have all 3 Psychological Subtleties books, then your library is incomplete. There are many other products like the 3-disc Radio Magic CD set, the 4-volume Psy Series DVD set, and more, all available at magicinspirations.net. You'll find the perfect stocking stuffer there. Now, back to this week's podcast. Well, I hope you enjoyed that little reading, but before I tell you who they were, I thought you might like to hear some of the outtakes or bloopers. You know, there are 2 kinds of cold reading. One is the kind a psychic would do, and the other is giving a script to someone to read for the first time. Not everyone can do a cold reading, actually either kind of meaning of that term, but not many can professionally read a script on the first time through. So, I thought you might get a chuckle out of some of the funny asides that were captured during the readings of How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Quite tricky for me. Whatever. It's gonna be fun for you.
That's good.
The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please, don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be...
This one off. Red light still going.
Oh. I'm sorry. I also forgot that this rhymes. I know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
When he came to the first house in the square.
And the more the Grinch read of the who could, you know.
They would start on Whoville pudding and rare who roast beef. Now please don't ask why. No one knows. Okay,
Jesus. You're brutal, you know? You go, here's something you've never freaking read before. Let's read 45 minutes of stuff.
Okay, we'll start at the beginning.
God almighty.
He stared down at Whoville.
Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room and took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboard, tricycle, popcorn and plums.
Then he loaded some sacks and some old... Oh, I'm rubbish. Can we start again?
Yep, go ahead.
I was reading ahead of myself. Yep. Ready, steady, go.
I'll do the next one.
No.
What? I'm cool. We'll do the next one not so fast.
How many have to do?
It's good.
All right.
You don't want to do...
And he slithered. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Slithered? I thought I'd have screwed up slithered. I don't think I've ever seen the word slithered written down before.
Okay.
Slunk?
Yes, slunk.
Then he slithered and he slunk with a smile most unpleasant.
Excuse me.
Yes.
And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head and he got her a drink and he sent he to bed. Poo-poo to the who's he was Grinchly humming.
Let's do that again. I don't know that word.
Grinchously.
Grinchously.
It's a Seuss word.
No, I know, but I just...
Yeah, okay.
Grinchously.
The all the who's down...
It should be. Yeah, I'm going to change that. So start there.
Are we almost done? Yes. Oh, my God.
We are almost.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
So, did you guess all the voices? Well, when I was thinking of putting this together, there was no question who I wanted for the voice of the Grinch. It was none other than Eugene Berger. I recorded him over a dinner table during the combined IBM and SAM convention in St. Louis earlier this year. I was interested to learn that Eugene was unfamiliar with the original broadcast that featured Boris Karloff as the voice of the Grinch. As you go back and listen again, see if you can pick out the voices in order of Boris Wilde, Mark Salem, Tim Ellis, Eugene Berger, Bob Cassidy, Rocco Solano, Doc Hilford, Tim Trano, Richard Osterlin, George Tate, Stephen Bergazzi, Ice McDonald, Mandy Farrell, Rick Merrill, and Eric DeCamps. I want to thank all of these who gave me the gift of time to lend their voices to this little project that we can pass on to you for the holidays. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did working with them. Thank you again, guys, and Mandy, for your help in sharing your time with the listeners of The Magic Word this holiday season. And for me, Scott Wells, your humble podcaster, I wish you all the best for this beautiful holy day season. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.